Well, this morning we are going to talk about Christmas a little, and I love that video even is a little mixed up, that it was things didn't come off as the way you think it's supposed to or the way it's laid out. And I feel like even that this morning, I feel like the message I have for you maybe isn't perfectly packaged the way that I wanted it as your pastor. I wanted some good points. I want it to be a great sermon for Christmas morning. But I feel like it's supposed to be almost like Christmas, where things were a little messy. Things were a little, as the one kid said, it was stinky in there. It was things that it wasn't the way that we would have planned. As human beings, that's not how we would plan for the King of the universe to come and reveal himself to humanity. That's not what we would do. But God has different ways of doing things. And so my prayer is that this morning, that no matter how this comes across, whatever this package looks like, that it's what God wants, and that it's received the way that God wants to for us to receive it. And so would you pray with me this morning that God would help me deliver his word in a way that is what he wants, that and that all of us have ears to hear what he has to say. So join with me as we just pray for God to bless his word. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we had a time just to worship you, to adore you. God, that we're reflecting on your goodness, on your grace, on your love, that you love the world so much that you gave your son. God, we are so in awe of that. And we pray that this morning, God, that we would be reminded and be just inspired and in awe all over again of hearing the truth of the gospel. And so I pray that you would anoint me, God, that I would have lips to say what is truth, what is relevant, what is a living and alive, God, that your word would come alive, that you would take your written word and make it a rhema word. God, that you would take the things I've prepared and that those two small fish like that little boy, and that you would multiply it and be able to feed your people, God, this morning, that each one of us would have ears to hear what your spirit has to say. So we just thank you for this time. We ask for your blessing over it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are going to read a passage in Luke. So if you want to grab your Bible or a Bible in the pew in front of you or open up your app, you can turn to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to read. I know Luke chapter 2 is the traditional Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. But we're going to look a little bit at the beginning in Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at some of Mary's story in this. And we're going to look at how Mary, my theme for this morning is looking at how Mary handled the gospel, hearing the Christmas story. She was the first person to be told the Christmas story and how she responded. And how she had to believe it. She did believe it, but to actually walk it out, she had to hold on to the testimonies of God and also the promises of God. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, is the testimonies and promises of God and how we are to steward those in our own life. And so let me open up my notes that I'm going to reference this morning. But I know I'm not going to be preaching directly from, because God has something, I know, up his sleeve for this morning. But I want to read, we're going to read 19 verses. We're going to read some of the Christmas story. And it's important. I really do. I know most of you have it open. But if you don't yet, get it open. I really think it's important on Christmas to open up your Bible and read with your own eyes what God is saying to you. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26 is where we're going to start. Verse 26. And it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." We're going to keep reading. Verse 39. "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women,
and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.
All right. Whew, you guys did it. You read all 19 verses. I know it's a lot to read all at one time, but I want to use that as a basis of what God wants to say to us this morning. That Mary was hearing the good news. She heard it, as you kind of saw displayed by those kids, that how can this be? How can I get pregnant? This doesn't make sense. And that often there's things that God says that don't make sense in our own reasoning. There's things that God does that we can't lean on our own understanding. We have to trust him and that he'll direct our steps. And so there's things that Mary is hearing this, and it says that she believed. As Mary said, as Gabriel was telling her these things, she said, I believe. Let it be done to me as according to your word. She received what God was saying, but then she had to walk it out. As soon as Gabriel left, she had to process, okay, what do I do now? How do I tell my parents? I'm pregnant, but I've never slept with anyone before. This has never happened before. Her parents aren't going to believe her. How is she going to tell Joseph? What's she going to do? And she's realizing, I got to process this. How do I walk this out now? And so there's things that I want us to look at that she had to look back on the history of God's faithfulness. And she had to hold on to the promises that God was telling her. And that's important. That there's things in our life that wherever you're at in your life, whether things are going good, whether things are difficult, no matter what season of life you're in, this is something we all can grab a hold of. That it's always the right time to look back on the history of what God has done, on his faithfulness, to look back on the testimony of God, and then also to look forward to the future with great joy, anticipation of the promises he has for us. And so, really quickly, testimony. What is the definition of testimony? It's a declaration of what has been, of what's taken place, a declaration of what has taken place. What is a promise? A declaration of what will be. They're both the same thing. You can look it up in the Webster's Dictionary. A testimony is a declaration, even in the court cases, right? They are testifying, they're declaring what took place. This is what happened. This is what I saw. I'm declaring to you what happened. And then a promise is a declaration of what will be or what will be given, what's going to happen. And so it's important that these things, actually, they relate. A testimony and a promise, they're related. And really, the testimony, if you didn't know, we have an Old Testimony and a New Testimony. The Old Testament, New Testament makes up our Bible. That's really what this is. This is a testament or a testimony of God's faithfulness to his people. All from Genesis chapter 1, what God did, how God created the heavens and the earth, how he did it. It's testifying of God's glory, of what he did. And these are things that we're to hold on to. That why do we need testimonies? Why do we need to know what God's saying? It's because there's times, like Mary, where there's fear that creeps in. There's times where Mary is processing what God is saying, what's about to happen, and there's uncertainty. There's times in our life where we don't understand the fear of the unknown. God, I don't know what this is going to look like. Fear of, I don't feel qualified. Mary thinking, why am I chosen of all the people, of all humanity, all the billions of people that have existed before me and after me? Why me? I'm not qualified to bear the Son of God. All these thoughts of not being qualified. Then these thoughts of, people are going to reject me. If I go through with this, my family and friends, they're going to judge me. And it's not going to go easy. Life is not going to be easy. And there's these things of difficulty. These 9 months of pregnancy, as much as this was a good word, the angel coming to her and sharing this promise, it was also a declaration of difficulty, that this is going to be hard. This is going to be a road that's not easy. And so she had to hold on to the testimonies that she came from a lineage of people that knew God's faithfulness. As you see this, we didn't get to read it, but the next few verses that we didn't read is actually what a lot of people call the Mary's Magnificat. That she then praises God. She goes into a song and she gives her own prayer and she's declaring what her thoughts are after Elizabeth prophesies over her. And in this, you'll see, if you read these next few verses, Mary's Magnificat, it refers exactly back to 2 Samuel, Hannah and her prayer as she got miraculously pregnant and gave birth to Samuel. She gives this prayer. And so you see that Mary knows this prayer. Mary was someone that knew God's word. She knew the history of God's people. In fact, there's 10 direct quotes or allusions to the Old Testament in her Magnificat. She was someone who knew God's word. She knew the testimony of God. And so she could draw on that and say, God, I'm fearful. There's fear that's arising in me, but I'm not going to let fear overcome me. I'm going to hold on to the testimony of your word. I come from a people group that we know, God, you do the miraculous, This is a miracle that you're doing right now. No one's going to believe me. But at the same time, I come from a people group where we believe in a God of miracles. So as much as it seems crazy, it doesn't seem that crazy. Because there's a testimony of God, you doing the miraculous. And so she could hold on to that as something that gave her peace and gave her confidence. And so you see that there's this testimony. At the same time, as I'm saying that this is God's word, it's a testimony of God's faithfulness to his people. For thousands of generations, God has been faithful to his people. Over and over again, despite our unfaithfulness, God has been faithful. As you read throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites, how many times would they obey God and God would bless them, and then they would start to go away from God, and God would take his hand of blessing off of them, and then there'd be persecution, they'd be exiled, things, difficulty would happen, they'd cry out to God, God, forgive us, we're wrong, we did this. Their unfaithfulness was a process of over and over again, but you see God's faithfulness being constant, being the same. You see that throughout Scripture. It says that even in Psalms, in Psalms 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Psalms 119:90, your faithfulness endures to all generations. That you and I alive 2,000 years past when Jesus was alive, thousands of years before Hannah, 6,000 years before Abraham and all these other people, that we read these testimonies that God's faithfulness endures from generation to generation. That we are the product of God's faithfulness to his people. And that we can look back and that, praise God, we have a history, a testimony, a recording of God's faithfulness to his people. That's important that we draw from that when we go through difficult times, when things are confusing, when we don't understand. Let's look back. How did God relate? How is God consistent over and over again to come through for his people? And so you see Mary doing that, right? She's quoting Old Testament scripture. At the same time, scripture is promises. People have counted up how many promises are written down. There are over 7,000 promises in God's word. God is promising you over and over. God is a God who promises. He loves to make promises. He loves to say, this is what I'm going to do for you. But there's also a lot of his promises have ifs. I promise this is what I'm going to do for you if. There's these promises. I love that in 2 Corinthians it says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. I love that because it says all the promises of God are yes. All 7,000 plus promises in here are for you. They're for you. And God says they're yes. I'm promising them specifically to you, and they're yes and amen. What is amen? Amen means so be it. Amen means that we're agreeing with God, saying, God, I receive that. I believe that. As you see Mary saying that, as we just read that, Mary is hearing the promise from Gabriel to her. And what is her response? I'm your maidservant. Let it be done to me according to your word. That's amen. Let it be done to me. The promises of God are yes and amen. And there's this, I got to be careful how I word this, but there's this huge qualification to our belief in God's promises. All of God's promises to you are yes, but there's this huge correlation to our agreeing with them, our believing them, our receiving them and saying, yes, God, amen. I'm testifying. You're saying yes, I'm saying yes to them. And so you see Mary saying that. God, your promises to me, I receive them, and amen. I'll walk through with them. And so it's important. We see God's word as a testimony of what he has done and promises of what he will do. And so let me ask you a question. I'm kind of jumping. I know in my notes I said this somewhere, so I'll see if I get it out right. I'm going to ask you a question. You probably know the answer. Has Jesus already come to save his people from his sins? Or will Jesus come one day to save us forever from a sin nature? Yes. And amen. I like it. Has Jesus rend the heavens and come and ushered in his kingdom of heaven here on earth? Or will one day he come down from heaven and bring all of heaven with him to live here on earth with us forever? Amen. Amen. Yes. And amen. It's one of these things where Jesus has come and he is coming. Jesus has saved his people from their sins, and Jesus will save us one day. But there's this thing where Jesus has saved and he will save. But I'm saying right now in the middle, he is saving. Jesus, it means God saves. Jesus is the Savior today. Jesus isn't the Savior just 2,000 years ago. Jesus isn't just the Savior when he comes again. He's saving today. It says in his word that today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of his favor. That is, Jesus kept saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's now, it's here. The kingdom of heaven is here. He kept saying, you want to learn how to pray? I'll teach you how to pray. Pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, one day all of heaven will dwell on earth. Heaven itself, the new Jerusalem, will dwell on earth. And God will live with us. But did Jesus already come as Emmanuel? Yes, Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus came to live with us already. One day Jesus will come to live with us forever. But right now, is Jesus with us? Yes, he lives. He lives inside of me. I love that old hymn. He lives, Christ Jesus lives. Today, he walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Jesus is alive. He lives with me. And so it's so important that we understand that this Christmas story isn't just alluding to a testimony of what he used to do, what he did 2,000 years ago, that God's word isn't just a promise of what he will do one day when he returns. It's also the history and the future are meant to impact our today. And so that's my prayer this morning, is that somehow as we're looking at Christmas, as you reflect on Christmas with your family, as you go home today and tomorrow, that it impacts your today. How is Christmas from 2,000 years ago impacting your life today? Because that's why he's here. He came to impact Christmas today in 2017. He wants Christmas to impact you. And so I want us again to look at this story. So Mary just hears a word from Gabriel that she's pregnant. We don't know 100% for sure, according to Scripture, but most scholars would agree that the first person that Mary told was not her parents. Mary was anywhere from 13 to 16 years old. This young teenage girl just hears that she's going to be pregnant and have the Son of God live inside of her. This is a huge, heavy word. Most scholars would agree that Joseph wasn't the first person she told. Who's the first person she told, according to Scripture we just read? Elizabeth. Why did she go tell Elizabeth? Well, a couple reasons, but number one, because the angel Gabriel tells her, Elizabeth, your relative, she's 6 months pregnant. Now, you have to know that Mary knew Elizabeth, their relatives. Yes, they lived, it took several days' journey to get from Nazareth to the city of Judea where Elizabeth lived. But Mary knew Elizabeth. There was potlucks. There was times where they got together. There was picnics. There was family reunions. Mary knew Elizabeth. It wasn't like they were just pen pals or they just maybe heard each other once before. They knew each other. Now go back with me. Elizabeth was in her 70s. And as you remember back in this story that we can read in the Christmas story, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they had no children. She was barren. They were in their 70s. They couldn't have, it was impossible to have a baby. But as you heard, Gabriel said, but with God, all things are possible. And so we don't know for a fact whether Mary already knew that Elizabeth was pregnant or not. We don't know. I guess that maybe she did know. Because for 400 years, God hadn't spoken to his people. This was something when God spoke, the first thing of breaking his silence was actually to Zacharias. 6 months before Gabriel appears to Mary, the angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias while he's serving in the temple. And he tells him that he's going to have a baby, John the Baptist. He doesn't believe it. God makes him mute and deaf. And then he has to go and explain that to his wife, Elizabeth. And she gets pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant. I have a feeling that word got out. That relatives knew. That Mary knew that there was this crazy thought that she had a crazy aunt and uncle who had an angel come and visit them. And I think there was mixed emotions. I think a lot of people thought they were crazy. That there was hallucinations, that this was not real. For 400 years, God hadn't been, there wasn't any angel sightings. There was none of this miraculous things going on. And so this is hard to believe. And so Mary, right away, when she has Gabriel come to her and says this awesome truth to her, this miracle, and then the angel Gabriel tells her, and remember, your relative, Elizabeth, she's 6 months pregnant. Well, that's who I'm going to first. Because that's really, if you think about it, that probably is the only person on the face of the planet that would believe Mary. Her parents wouldn't believe her. Joseph, we know, didn't believe her, right? Because it says later on in Scripture that Joseph says, "He didn't. I was going to put her away quietly." He loved her, and he wanted to try to believe her, but there's no way. And so Elizabeth was the only human being on the planet that would actually believe Mary. So Mary, it says she made haste. As soon as Gabriel leaves, she makes haste. She makes all of her preparations, and she knows she's going to go down there for the next 3 months. She's not going down to visit for one day. She's going down there to go be with Elizabeth. Because I think it's important that Mary didn't just need the testimony of God's word. She needed a personal testimony. She needed someone else who had gone before her to testify, this is God. It is going to be okay. And you're going to do great. She needed personal encouragement. She needed to have a personal testimony. Because I think there's a lot of us in this room that we're here that somehow we give some credence. We believe to some degree that this is God's word. But we all need a personal testimony. How do you believe? How do you come to saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is? 99% of Christians are saved because someone else shared their personal testimony with them. Yes, people have personal encounters with an angel and they can become a Christian without any other human interaction. I believe that can happen. It still does happen. But most of the time, people need a personal testimony. They need someone else to share how they encountered Christ. And that opens up the door for them to encounter Christ. Mary, this is the first time that she had a personal relationship with God. A personal interaction where God was speaking to her personally. It wasn't just written down. It wasn't just oral tradition being given to her. It was actually the voice of God through the angel Gabriel speaking to her. And she had this testimony to hold on to, but no one else would believe her. So she had to go to someone else who had heard from God. Say, does this sound crazy or does it sound like God? And Elizabeth is saying, yes, Mary, this is God. This is God. She needed the encouragement. Before she could tell her parents, before she could tell Joseph, she needed to know someone else believed in her. That someone else could support her in this. And I think that's true for most of us in this room. We need people that we come alongside, and we need people that speak encouragement into us. To say, this is what God is saying. Look at his faithfulness, and these are his promises towards you. And at the same time, you and I, we're called to be those Elizabeths. If you think about it, Elizabeth was only 6 months ahead of Mary. It doesn't matter how long you've known the Lord. For 6 months all your life, God wants to use you to share your testimony to someone else. No matter how long you've been with Christ, it's time to share your testimony with someone else. And this is, if you read all the studies, the Christmas season is the time where most people are receptive to the gospel. Most people are, they're not offended to hear the truth of who Jesus Christ is. So open up your mouth, share. People want to know who Jesus really is. So give a testimony and share your own personal history of who Jesus is to you. And people want to hear that. Actually, during the Christmas season, people want to hear your testimony. It's not offensive. So I just want to encourage you, share your testimony. So you see Elizabeth, she goes down there. And I love the fact that it tells us twice. The narrator tells us, and then Elizabeth tells us in her own prophetic utterance. That when she hears Mary's greeting, what happened inside of her? The baby leaps inside of her. That John the Baptist was really the youngest prophet to ever prophesy. 6 months old inside his mother's womb, he confirmed that the Savior was right there. That's what he was created to do, right? To prepare the way of the Lord. He used to say, he kept saying, man, you think I'm giving God's word? There's someone who's coming greater than me. I'm not even worthy to wash his sandals. You know, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And John the Baptist, at 6 months old in his mother's womb, testifies to who Jesus Christ is. And testifying to his mom, he can't even talk. And as a prophet, he's leaping up and down telling his mom, that's the Savior. That's the Messiah. He's in the room. I love that. That's who John the Baptist is. At 6 months old, he's leaping for joy, prophesying, confirming. You see, because Mary needed confirmation. She had really what we would all love. When we're praying, God, can you please confirm? We would all love for an angel to come and tell us, thus saith the Lord, which we don't often get. But even though she had thus saith the Lord, I'm telling you, in processing this for the next 9 months, people not believing her, people judging her, she needed confirmation. She needed confirmation, and so she goes to visit Elizabeth. She gets this confirmation. I love this story, just picturing it, that she's there for the 3 months to see what pregnancy looks like, to feel that baby kick on Elizabeth's womb first before she ever feels it inside of herself, to know that this was the Holy Spirit was on this baby, just like the Holy Spirit created the baby inside of her, that she needed this, that she was there, she saw Elizabeth give birth. It says, some people will say, well, we don't know that for sure. That's true. She went to go visit Elizabeth at 6 months pregnant. She stayed there for 3 months. She could have waited. Oh, you're about to give birth to the baby. I'm out of here. She could have done that. I don't think so. I think she stayed until John the Baptist was born. She saw the whole process. She saw how sweet it was, how good it was, at the same time, how painful it was, how bloody it was, how difficult it was. She got to encounter and see all that take place because she knew she was going to go through it herself. And I'm just saying, I think there's so many in this room that there's things that we're going to go through in life that we need someone, we need to partner with someone who's gone there before. You've got to find somebody. I'm about to go through something, I don't know what to do. There's fear of the unknown. There's things where I don't know. I'm not saying that God's going to give you all the answers, but there's something in finding someone else who's gone before you and partnering with them and saying, can you just pray with me? Can you just confirm that this is what God wants? And that's important that we do that. You see that Elizabeth, possibly, we don't know this. I've heard some scholars think that she was barren. Maybe she was never pregnant before, or maybe she had several miscarriages. Maybe Elizabeth kept getting pregnant, and within the first month or two, having a miscarriage over and over again. And just that joy welling up within, I'm pregnant, and then losing it all. Over and over again, at 70 years of age, that might have happened a long time, but it hadn't happened in years. And she had gone through that. She knew what it was to have joy and then to be disappointed. And yet to still keep hope alive. To still believe that Elizabeth had not given up hope. You know, there's a verse in Romans. Let's see if I can find it in my notes here. That I love. Romans 4:18. It says, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and became the father of many nations. Against all hope, in hope, he believed and became the father of many nations. When I read that, I thought, yeah, that's Mary. Against all hope, in hope, she believed and became the mother of the Savior of the world. Against all hope, in hope, she believed. I think that's a good word for a lot of us this morning. Against all hope, in hope, will you believe? As we're winding down this year, 2017's only got another week, right? Week and a day left in it. I know a couple weeks ago I shared the message of breakthrough. Don't give up till the end. What is God saying to you this morning where hope would feel like it's closing in, where it's being deferred, where it's making you sick because you're not seeing it? Against all hope, in hope, would you still believe that God can do a miracle? I love that last verse we read, actually, verse 45. Luke chapter 1, verse 45. This is Elizabeth prophesying over Mary, and she says this. She says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed are you who believe, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told you by the Lord. Against all hope, in hope, will you believe what the Lord has told you? I know that for some of you in this room, this is actually one of the most difficult Christmases you've had to go through. You've lost loved ones. This is the first Christmas to go through it, go experience this Christmas without those people you love. Against all hope, in hope, can you believe that this will still be a blessed Christmas? That all of God's blessings are yes and amen. Will you not lean on your own understanding? But you say, okay, God, you've been faithful all throughout Scripture. Amen. To all your people, you've never let anyone down. You've never failed. Not one time have you failed anybody. And so I'm going to stand on your word. That you're going to be faithful to me in my own situation. See, there's this message this morning, I'm telling you, I know it's for someone specifically in this room. Because I wanted to go so many different ways this morning. But God just kept saying, this is what you're supposed to say, Ryan. Okay, okay. And I still don't even know exactly all what God wants to do here. But I know that God is trying to speak to some of you this morning. He wants to confirm the hope and the blessing that he's spoken in your life. Don't let it close down. Greater things are still to come. Greater things are yet to be done in your life. See, Mary, when she had this prophetic word that Elizabeth gave her, really going back to what angel was saying to her, what God was saying to her, it created a new identity. That Mary was just this teenage girl living in Nazareth. When what good can come from Nazareth? This mediocre town. Living in an age where God hadn't revealed himself for 400 years. Things were pretty hopeless. They were under the Roman rule and reign. They used to have their own kingdom. They used to have their own king. And now they got Caesar. Now they got all these other things they have to submit to. Things were actually didn't look very hopeful for the Jewish people at her time and age. And yet God speaks this word of hope. And she had a decision. Do I believe? Do I look at circumstances around me? And do I let those dictate the truth? Or do I say, no, God, you've done miracles in the past. I'm going to believe you're going to do miracles again. See, how do you build faith? How do you build your faith? It's pretty simple. I've said it several times. You look back at the faithfulness of God. Amen. When I feel like fear is rising up, I'll be honest with you. There's times, even yesterday, I've had to chew on my own message. As I was preparing my message, and I was looking at things, and I didn't feel like I had what I needed to be prepared to share with you this morning. And I felt like God was kind of wrapping things up and he wasn't giving me any more revelation. I was like, God, this isn't enough. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I felt fear rising up within me that I'm inadequate. I'm not going to be given a good word. And all these different thoughts came up. I said, oh, wait, what does my message say? Okay. God, you've been faithful. You've been faithful. You didn't call me to be the pastor because I'm a great orator, because I'm a great pastor, because I'm a great preacher. That's not why you called me. I just have to trust in your faithfulness. So God, I reject my feelings. I reject my thoughts. Amen. And I'm going to say, okay, God, you're faithful. And I'm telling you, on my bedroom floor, on my face before the Lord, God, thank you for your faithfulness. Despite my unfaithfulness, God, despite times you might even give me throughout the week that I didn't study, that I didn't prepare, that I was slothful, that I wasn't a good pastor. Despite my unfaithfulness, God, you're faithful. God, you're faithful. And I trust in your unfailing faithfulness. And he's a promise keeper. He's a promise giver and he's a promise keeper. God, you promised that you want to save your people. That it's not up to me. And I felt like God was saying that this morning, as I said already, that today is the day of salvation. I felt like God wanted the salvation message to come forth. And so, giving no apologies for it. That's where I'm going right now. That I think there's some of you in this room, you've heard the Christmas story. You've heard that Jesus, you've heard God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You've heard that Jesus came as a baby and was born to a Virgin Mary. You've heard that before. You've heard that there is a heaven. You've heard that there is a hell. Maybe there is a desire to even believe it. There's a desire to want to go to heaven. But there's a difference between hearing and believing. Mary heard the words of the angel. She heard them. But she had to believe them. It says that her first initial response was, I believe, let it be done to me according to your word. But I think there was also this process where right away, as soon as that angel disappeared, there was doubt, there was fear, there was all these things that she was wrestling with. And so there had to come to another time where she went to go see Elizabeth. And then she had to have it confirmed and say, okay, now I'm ready. I believe it so much so that I'm ready to confront my entire town. I'm ready to go back to Nazareth. After 3 months of being with Elizabeth, I'm ready to go back to Nazareth. I'm ready to go tell my betrothed Joseph and tell him the truth that I'm pregnant and it looks bad. I've been gone for 3 months and I'm pregnant. She was ready. She was ready to actually live out what she believed. There was something that had to take place. It wasn't just the hearing. See, I don't believe it was the moment that she heard the angel Gabriel speaking to her that she became pregnant. I think it was when she actually said, okay, Lord, I believe. I'm ready to live this out. I'm ready to be the mother of your child. That I think there's some of you that here this morning, you've heard the testimonies, you've heard these things, you actually even believe in some of the promises of what God's going to do. You believe there is a heaven. But what about today? One day every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But what about today? Is Jesus the Lord of your life today? See, one day, the testimony is that Jesus came. That Jesus left heaven, he came to earth. Why did he come? To save his people from their sins. That's why he came. Jesus is coming again. The promise is that Jesus is coming again. And he's going to be sitting on his throne, on the judgment seat. And he is going to say to some, the promise is that he's going to say to some of us, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into my rest. But the reality is to some, he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. But God, I believe. I mean, I heard all this and I thought I believed. Yeah, but did we have a relationship? Did you actually know me? Did I know you? And so what an incredible opportunity that God is doing this morning to share with some of you that today can be the day that Jesus Christ is born in you, just like Mary. That you've heard the gospel. You've heard all these things a lot. But today might be the day that Jesus is actually born in you. That he lives inside of you. That you have relationship with him. It's not just, I know about him. And I can rattle off verses about him, but I actually have relationship with him. There's a difference between me saying, I know about George Washington. I studied about him. I can tell you all the facts of the day he was born, how he died. I can tell you all these facts about him. But I actually never knew George Washington. I didn't have a relationship with him. There's some of you, maybe you know a lot of facts about God. You can even tell the people how to be saved. You know you might know the Roman road. You might know that you have to believe in Jesus to get to heaven. You might know these things. But do you actually know him? Not just about him. And so I just want to give you an opportunity on this Christmas to believe, to respond. Say, I'm going to take the testimony of God's word and I'm going to take the promises and I'm going to bring them both into my today. I'm going to allow it to let Jesus be born in me. And so if we could just take a moment with your heads bowed. Everyone go ahead and just bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you want to make that be real in your life today, I'm just going to ask you just to pray this in your own heart. Don't repeat after me. Just believe with what I'm saying and agree with me in prayer as I pray right now. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you love the world so much. And in the world, God, you love me so much that you came and wrapped yourself in human flesh to know what it is to go through human suffering, to know what it is to taste pain, physical pain, emotional pain, and yes, even spiritual pain as you went to the cross and you bore my sin and the Father turned his back and you were separated from the Father. Jesus, I believe that you came to save me from my sins. I believe I'm a sinner. And Jesus, today I'm saying, would you forgive me? Would you create in me a clean heart, oh God? filled with clean thoughts and right desires? Would you transform me? Would you cause me to be born again? Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to be like Mary and say, let it be unto me. I'm your maidservant. I'll do whatever you say. And with every head still bowed and eyes closed, if you said that prayer with me, would you just look up at me and just make some eye contact so I know that you're saying that this morning? Amen. Amen. I see those eyes. Amen. 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 God, I thank you for today. That today is the day of salvation. That just as we celebrate Christmas, when angels came and were rejoicing and filled the whole sky praising you, that God, your word declares that even right now, the angels are rejoicing that names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life today. God, we rejoice.